All right. Hello, everyone. I'd like to call the meeting of the Application Review Committee to order. Today's date is October 2nd, 2024. The time is 2 o'clock p.m. The purpose of this meeting is to substantially review the psychologist applications listed on the agenda for today. I just would like to note that the chair reserves the right to reorder any agenda items. Ms. Folks, would you do a roll call, please?
Yes, Madam Chair. Dr. Flint?
Present.
Dr. Medina?
Present.
You have a quorum.
Thank you, Dr. Medina. Thank you for rearranging and joining us today.
Oh.
Third time is a charm, everyone. Let me look quickly at who is here. I see B1. Kathy, if you can help me. Oops, Walt, you are.
Dr. Bogardus is here, Chelsea Wall, Dr. Chelsea Wallen, Dr. Marka Marie McCauley, Dr. Michael Baychok, I don't know how to pronounce your name, I apologize. And Dr. Mongku has just arrived.
Perfect. I'm just writing them down really quickly. What I'd like to do is go through the individuals here first. So let's start with B1, if we may. Dr. Medina, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with this one as the review. Dr. McCallie was has her PhD in combined school and counseling psych from APA accredited NAU in May of 2024. Holds a license as an LPC in Arizona with no actions. There are training hours submitted from various locations, and herein lies some of my pretty significant confusion. I'll be honest. We have multiple different letters and attestations of hours that seem to overlap in dates and change hours. So I'm going to go through, Dr. Medina, what I have to compare with your notes, please. We have an internship at NAU Counseling Services. On that form, on item number 29, or sorry, page 29 of 59, it does indicate that there was not a title specifically designating training status or trainee status, excuse me. So that
Yeah.
is a piece of concern. The letter that was submitted talks about a 2,000-hour internship. However, the form said 1,500. Now, and then another form said 1,720. So I've got three different documentation of hours for internship. Does that coincide, Dr. Medina, with what you saw as well?
Yes. 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 It was a discrepancy. With hours not being referenced as intern, and also then the correction didn't match what was said, and so that's where the confusion came.
In additional documentation submitted, there were other instances where the boxes for numbers 3 and 4 about accreditation and again designation of training status were checked as not being there was no training status listed on another form. There's another internship form which also says NAU with the same dates as the 1500 hour one, but now it says 1600 hours. So I'm wondering if I can punt to Dr. McCauley and see if we can get a little bit of clarity on what is happening with your hours, ma'am.
All right. Thanks for meeting today. So there was confusion as to what paperwork we were supposed to submit.
Okay.
So I think the first round of paperwork we submitted incorrectly. So it was an internship, and then because I didn't finish my dissertation, I was practicing at this place for 2 years before I defended my dissertation. So
Okay.
there's weird in-between time where I was doing field work for 1 semester. And then after that, I was just continuing to work there and being supervised 2 hours a week. So I'm guessing that was kind of where the main confusion was. We didn't know how to label those 2 years of supervision.
So in the resubmittals, which resubmittal is accurate, which form and which accounting for hours is what you're saying actually happened during your internship?
Well, I think Dr. Benchoik is the one that submitted those. So the most recent submission are the ones that are accurate because we had to change. At first we clicked that it was APA accredited, which it was for internship, but it wasn't for field work. It wasn't meeting those same requirements. So that's what we had to change. Yeah.
Matt, and I see Dr. Benchoik is here. Sir, thank you for joining us. Can you shed any light on what we are supposed to be looking at this moment as the true attestation of hours for internship?
Yes, I most recently signed the documents that are accurate for 1500 and then 1720. Part of the confusion is she's been a paid employee here, I think. I would assume that's part of the confusion at least, in which case I have supervisor for 2 hours of individual supervision the entire time. If I'm not here, it's Dr. Carl Dindo, our director, or Dr. Chris Margeson, he's a training director, that have stepped in those roles. And then she has always been informing her clients that she is under supervision. It's also posted on our websites and has been the entire time.
So in her training hours, she was a paid employee designation, or she was paid a stipend?
Paid employee is my understanding. Margerson?
Yeah, if I can interject.
Sir, can you introduce who you are, please? Yes. Full name. It doesn't say it on the screen.
My name is Chris Margerson. I'm the training coordinator and psychologist here at NEU's Counseling Services. So with Marcus, just to kind of give a trajectory for training, she started off as a practicum student that was supervised, designated as that. And then she applied for internship through the NMS APIC matching service. And then she matched with us for her APA accredited internship. That was a 2000 hour internship in which she met all the requirements. She met all the benchmarks and passed. And so she had that trainee designation as well. All of her clients were informed of her supervisory status. After she completed her internship, she did her field work with NAU as a class with us as she was an employee, but she was also doing her field work experience. She was a trainee. I mean, as far as she was a supervisee under Dr. Benchoik, and all of her clients were informed of her supervisory status. So that happened until she graduated. And I think there were some dates that were wrong because after she graduated, then that would technically be considered a postdoc. So I don't know if she submitted that as a postdoc or not, but she's always received supervision, has been the designated trainee status when she was an intern and practicum student here, and then received supervision as an unlicensed individual under Dr. Benchoik. So does that provide a little bit of clarification for you all?
I can't say that I've ever seen a person do additional field work after completing their internship.
Yes, it is, I think, different. And our kind of the way we conceptualize this is she still, as even though she has an LPC, we considered her to be a psychologist in training until she took the ACCP and became licensed. And so we were in this gray area of like, well, what do? We didn't feel comfortable falling on her LPC license because we're training her to be a psychologist. And so she's always worked under that designation of as being a supervisee, letting all of her clients know that she's working under supervision of a psychologist after she finished her internship doing her fieldwork experience. So yes, I agree with you. We weren't exactly sure what to do. So we erred. What we believed on being very cautious is always providing supervision with her after those internship hours.
Dr. Medina.
Thank you, Dr. Flint. I mean, it's still confusing. Even in this phone call, I already heard it was a 1500 hour internship. And now you are saying it was a 2000 hour internship. Which one was it?
It's a 2000 hour APA accredited internship. I'm not sure what was turned in, but it's been a 2000 hour internship. That's what.
Okay. And what were the dates of this internship being completed?
Chris, there were three things. There was the internship, field work, and then after field work ended at at school, we continued with supervision, and that was the third one. So it was 2 years, but the internship was a regular internship.
Okay. I'm asking about the internship. I want to get clarification in the internship. It was a 2,000-hour internship?
Yes.
It's APA accredited. Okay. Yes. And her title was intern?
Absolutely.
Psychology intern. Okay. What was the stipend?
The stipend, from memory, was 30. I can't remember off.
30,000?
Maybe 36,000, whatever it might have stated there. I can go back and find her.
And what were the dates of this internship? I just want to know the internship.
Yep. So the internship dates for are August 2021 to August 2022.
Okay.
Her fieldwork experience began later on in 2022. Sorry.
Okay. So 2,000-hour internship, I think I got that. There was a practicum that was mentioned that was completed here. I assume this was before internship.
Yes.
Okay. How many hours were from that practicum and what were the dates?
The dates on that practicum were August 2020, 2019. Help me out, Marco. What were the dates on that? Because that was the year. So that would be 2020. To 2021 were her practicum experience from August to August 2020 to May. Looking at my dates. To May 2021.
Okay. How many hours were accrued during that practicum? From August 2020 to May 2021.
Marco, what did you submit for that? Because that would be the work, that would be what you submitted for pre-practicum experience. I don't have that.
Pre-internship. Those
numbers for pre-internship.
Yeah. I am logging into the portal to figure out what that, I don't remember that off the top of my head. So I can log in and find that with the stuff I submitted.
The form submitted, Dr. Medita, says that that experience ended in May of 2020, not May of 2021.
Okay, so then was it August of 2019 to May 2020?
Probably. It was right before my internship. Oh, I can't click on my paperwork from the site.
Okay. I think what I'm going to do, Dr. Medina, is call this discussion to end, because even between the three of you, it doesn't seem to be an agreement.
Yes. I
would like to issue a fair letter to give one more chance to be extremely clear about exactly what hours, exactly the dates, that the dates can overlap between the experiences, all the hours need to add up as far as the amount of supervision. And I would like to see those forms submitted with a cover letter so that we know what we're looking at, because this kind of going back and forth, I'm afraid we're not going to get to any conclusion that is an accurate reflection of what has happened. Dr. Medina, are you okay proceeding in that manner?
Yes, I
am. Would you like any other information included in that we can give to Kathy for the fair request?
Dr. McCallie, are you submitting any postdoctoral hours?
Right now I'm still getting supervision. So if I need to, then I will submit postdoc hours.
Okay. Do you know, do you remember, if you had 1,000 hours from your practicum, from whether it was 2019 to 2020 or 2020 to 2021?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I'd like to have to look at my paper.
Okay. So, yes. No, that is it. The hours that you submit have to add to 3,000 hours. And it has to be, whether it's, you know, practicum and internship or internship and postdoc. Yes, Ms. Gavin.
I don't know if there's confusion with the committee members. I heard about an employment status, and then I also heard about a stipend. So I don't know if we need clarification in that area.
Absolutely, yes. I had also thought about that. So if your employee is not a practicum, so we need clarification. When have you been employed? That is not a stipend, right? Your internship is your internship. It has a stipend like all internships do. That's fine. You know, practicum, then we need clarification. Was that paid, unpaid? What was that? You know, and it has to add up to 3,000 if you're going to use postdoc hours. It just has to add to 3,000 in a way that it makes sense and that there is no overlap.
Madam Chair, committee members, this is Kathy.
Yes, ma'am.
May I? I have a couple of questions. One, does the committee want a copy of the supervision logs along with these? That has been historically what is requested with a fare letter.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
My other question is, I don't remember if it was Dr. Van, I apologize, I don't know how to pronounce your name,
Van Schoik, yes.
And Dr. Margeson said that the supervision for Dr. McCauley was 2 hours a week, which according to the verifications, she worked 40 hours a week, so the supervision should have been 4 hours a week because it's 2 hours, or not for internship, it's 2 hours for every 20, I think. Am I mixing it up?
Internship, you need 4 hours of supervision. At least two of those need to be individual supervision.
Okay, thank you.
This is Sarah. I've been supervising her since she's been the employee here, and I said 2 hours of individual supervision. I apologize if I.
Okay, good. Thank you. That was my other.
So we will get all of this requested on paper, exactly what we're looking for. And hopefully the next time it just all makes sense and lines up. And then we can make a decision at that point. Any other questions, Dr. Medina, that you'd like to add on this one? Okay. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Ms. Folks, do you have a suggestion for the next person to move to? I'm seeing a lot of first names and I'm not finding them on my agenda.
We have Dr. Monghu. She is
A1. Perfect. I apologize. We should have done you first. I apologize, doctor. All right. Let's go back up and take yours right now. So you are requesting approval to sit for the ECPP only. Dr. Medina, would you like to present this case?
Sure. Absolutely. Madam Chair. Dr. Monquo received her doctoral degree from Virginia State University. She completed her internship at the New Mexico Psychology Internship Consortium and her postdoc fellowship at the Northern Navajo Medical Center with the Indian Health Services. So Dr. Monquo is applying for licensure and the ECPP. There was a fare letter, a first formal additional information request that was sent on September 4th, requesting a corrected, core program requirements and more information regarding some discrepancies and some pre-internship verifications. And I believe those were submitted. At that time, then Dr. Monco had the opportunity to switch her application to ECPP only to allow her then more time to collect the information that was needed. While not delaying her opportunity to take the ECPP. So then this is, her application is for the ECPP only this time around. And Dr. Monco submitted a revised core program requirements form and requested to switch her application at that time to the P only. And that is my summary. I did not see anything. I think for sitting in for the ACCC, I don't see anything that would be a barrier to approve this application for that.
I'm in full agreement with you, Dr. Medina. Would you entertain a motion to approve Dr. Moncoyo for sitting for the ECCC only at this time?
Yes, I move that we approve her application to sit for the ECCC.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Motion carries. Congratulations and best of luck on your journey to the ECCC passing.
Thank you so much, board. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Alrighty.
Okay. Next, I believe Dr. Wallen is here. Is it okay if we go ahead and see her case? That would be E3. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me find my notes. Sorry, as we jump around here, that's the only drawback because I take my notes in order of the agenda.
I do too.
E3. Okay, let me take this one. Dr. Wallen graduated with a degree in clinical psychology from APA-accredited Marshall University in 2023. She has not held any licenses in any other state. She initially applied in West Virginia, but decided to go a different route. We have verification of pre-internship hours of 889.5. We have internship at APIC-approved Federal Correction Complex Terre Haute for 2049 hours. And then we also have, I believe these were postdoc hours, if I'm not mistaken, at the Herschel Woody Williams VAMC for another 960 hours. I did notice that on that particular one, the supervisor was not licensed in the state. However, it's a government placement. So I just wanted to get clarification that that is an exception for them. Ms. Galvin, is that correct understanding? Perfect. Thank you, ma'am. We have two references and a self-query. We have an ECCC passing score that has been verified. And with those numbers, I didn't see any particular concerns with approving this particular applicant. Dr. Medina, did you have any concerns?
No concerns. Everything looks in order.
Perfect. We will motion for the entire section together, if that's okay, Dr. Medina.
Yep.
Perfect. All right. Thank you, Ms. Wallen, for being here. We will take that vote when we have the other members of your section completed.
Thank you.
All right. I also see Dr. Bogardis. Is that, did I pronounce that correctly?
You did. Nailed it.
Awesome. E8 is the number on this one for those of you following along on the agenda and in our notes. Dr. Medina, would you present this case?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. So Dr. Bogardis received her CID from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology in August of 2023. Dr. Bogardis reported in the application, a criminal traffic citation from October of 2012, 14 years ago. So there was, because Dr. Borgatos has a supervised temporary license, there was a discrepancy in how that question was answered in her application versus in question of the licensing then application. It had been answered no for the supervised temporary license, but then answered yes this time around. So more clarification was requested in regards to that item. And Dr. Borgatos explained that she had misunderstood the scope of the question and that it was not her intention to provide inaccurate information. She indicated that it was an oversight. She did not read the information carefully. And that is what I have. It's from looking at the application, it looked like everything else was in order.
I agree with you, Dr. Medina. I didn't have any concerns either.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. We will move on and hear the other cases who are here. We'll vote on the each agenda item as we complete those sections. Thank you, Dr. Borgatos, for being here.
You guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks so much.
Thank you. I also see Dr. Schaefer in the same section, E7, is present. Am I identifying you correctly, ma'am? Okay, well, we'll do it anyway. There we go. Hello, Dr. Schaefer. All right, Dr. Schaefer graduated.
Sorry, my internet froze.
That's okay. It always happens at the best times, doesn't it? Dr. Schaefer graduated from APA Accrediting Spalding University in 2023 with a degree in clinical psychology, specialization in health psychology. She did receive a fair letter. So in her response, she resubmitted the postdoc verification forms. At that point, we identified 838 kind of additional hours needed to be documented to comply with the requirements. We now have a postdoc verification from Phoenix Children's Hospital of 904 hours and Barrow Neurological Institute, which is APA accredited in the amount of 2162 hours. There were two references and a self-query. The ECCC score was verified. With the resubmitted logs, I did not see any concerns. Dr. Medina, did you have any?
I did not have any. Everything looked in order.
Perfect. We appreciate you being here, Dr. Schaefer, and we'll continue to vote as the section is completed.
Great. Thank you all so much.
Thank you. All right. Is there anybody else? I see a Michael. Is that Michael Bowshop by any chance? Maybe not.
I believe it, Madam Chair, committee members, okay. I believe it is Dr. I don't know how to pronounce it either. Baycop, Bushop, I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure Michael, that's who Michael is.
Okay. Michael, would you let us know the correct pronunciation of your last name, sir?
Backup.
Awesome. Okay. This is sorry, sir.
I said I had to unmute my mic. Sorry for the delay.
That's okay. So this is item G2 that we will review your case since you are here and present. I can go ahead and do this one, Dr. Medina. Dr. Baucup got his PhD graduating from Columbia University in 1997 with a doctoral degree in clinical psychology, licensed in Florida with no actions expiring in 5 of 2026, previously licensed in Oregon, and which lasted until 6 of 21, in Missouri until 1 of 14, and in Massachusetts until June of 2022. All of those licenses were also with no actions during the time of licensure. We were able to verify the residency check, and the self-query appeared to be in order. I did not see any concerns with this application. Dr. Medina, did you have anything?
No concerns.
Okay, excellent. Doctor, thank you so much for being here. We will vote on your item when we do the rest of the section on that agenda. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much, board members.
Excellent. Okay, y'all, we got everybody who's present, I think, addressed. So let's go back up to B2, which I am actually recused from.
Yes.
So that will go to the full board. Thank you, Dr. Medina, for your help with that. B3, Dr. Salix. Let me scroll up here.
Yes.
Let's
Want me to do that one?
Please, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Dr. Salix completed their PsyD at Alliant International University and an APA accredited internship at SVH. They were approved to take the ECCC. Which they did three times, but were not able to obtain a passing score. Dr. Salix is submitting a 5-week study plan to be able to attempt the exam a fourth time. Well, Dr. Salix is not here. But I mean, if everything looked in order, I don't know, you know, would be different this time around that hasn't been different, but they're not here. So I don't know if if we typically just approve them the fourth time, or if we traditionally do ask them to answer.
What is the history, Ms. Galvin?
Yeah, I don't know.
And Kathy and Jennifer, I don't know if you have any. Sometimes they appear, they're not mandated to appear. Okay. You can make your decision based on the information that was submitted.
Okay, that's fine.
I do have two questions on this one, though, Dr. Medina.
Yes.
My first question is that when they reapplied on July 8th and took the test on July 25th, if the study plan wasn't approved until the 8th, I'm wondering what could have happened as far as studying on the approved plan that could have happened in only 2.5 weeks. And that's what makes me really want to know how this plan is different. I would actually like to ask for that in writing, unless I am fluctuating or deviating from the norm at all. And also, there was text on an evaluation on page 83 of 129 that looks like it was added in by another party. It's in a different font and different. It just looks different. And so I just also had a question about that insertion and who it was done by.
So I'm Dr. Flint, the July 25th, that was their third time.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And it was only approved to sit on 7-8. So it's a really short amount of time. So I'm curious about how the study plan that was approved on 7-8 was undertaken so quickly.
Madam Chair, committee members, the answer to that is there was not a study plan submitted. The study plan is required after the third attempt. If they do not pass on the third attempt, then on the fourth attempt, they have to apply anew, submitting a brand new full application and a written study plan.
And so there was no study plan for the third.
Correct. And so from this point onward, if they don't pass on the fourth attempt, they can reapply, but they also must submit an updated study plan. And at that point, usually that's when the committee or the board has historically requested that they attend the meeting. They may talk to the applicant about their study plan and give advice or guidance at that point if they choose.
Okay. So I'm just one step ahead. Okay, that is fine. We'll back up one. With that information, Dr. Medina, I'm okay with moving forward and giving another attempt. Do you have any concerns with that?
No.
Okay. All right.
I do appreciate that they're just going after it and everything is the same year. It's like March, May, July, you know, sometimes people take a long time in between tests. So
I agree. Absolutely. And I wish them the best of luck at this.
Oracle be the charm.
So the next agenda item B4, Dr. Elmore. I can go ahead and take the lead on this one. Dr. Elmore graduated from Argosy University in 2015. They hold license as a school psychologist with no actions noted. This person was previously approved to sit for the ECPP, but failed to meet the passing scores, so is requesting permission to test again and also for licensure. I saw the two references and the self-query. I didn't see anything that would prohibit this application moving forward. Dr. Medina, did you?
No, don't have any notes on it.
So. Excellent. Number 5 is another recusal for myself, a former student too. I was on a dissertation committee. So that will go to full committee on Friday, or full board on Friday. So the next one is B6. Mm-hmm. Dr. Reese Williams, would you take the lead on that?
Sure. Dr. Reese Williams got her PsyD at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology and completed her internship at the Youth Development Institute. She's requesting to take the ECPP for the fifth time and submitted a study plan for our review. So this is the point where Kathy was mentioning at that point, we do want to hear from them, you know, what would be different this time.
Ms. Folks was Ms. Dr. Reese Williams invited today, and did she respond?
Everyone was invited, but I don't believe I specifically said, please attend.
Okay.
With her. I missed that one. It didn't occur to me.
Okay. If we could make that request of her for the next committee meeting, and I would specifically be interested in how this plan is different from the plan she had at test four. It looks like just a study plan, but there's no indication of what was changed for attempt five. Okay. Do you have any other additions to that ask, Dr. Medina?
No.
Okay, so we will put that application.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, committee members. Is that a formal request or an informal request?
I'm okay with informal, considering kind of the snafus we've had with scheduling this particular one.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
Informal. And then we cannot, I mean, could this be added to Friday's meeting or no, because it's too close at this point?
Because there isn't enough time to really notify her and find out if she can attend, this all has to be finalized 24 hours or more before the meeting and no less. So it's not.
Unfortunately, Ms. Folks, right, the time
so close. Okay.
Yeah. I wish, but yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
Excellent. The next meeting. So we will hear item B6 at our next committee meeting with those requests. Thank you for doing that, Ms. Folks. The last one in this category, B7, is Dr. Andrino. I can take the lead on this one. Dr. Andrino graduated from APA-accredited Midwestern University in Glendale in August 2021. She was previously approved to take the ECCP in March 2023, but did not obtain a passing score. She's asking for another attempt at this test. All files and documents appeared to be in order, including the two references and the self-query. I didn't see anything in particular that caused any concern. Did you, Dr. Medina?
Nope, nothing at all.
Okay. With that information in hand, do I hear a motion on the items in category B?
Let's see if I can get it. It's lots of people. Let's see them. So the motion is, so I move to, approve Dr. Salix, Elmore, and Andrino's requests. That Drs. Reisenauer and Wilcox will be reviewed by the full board because of the recusal. We don't have quorum here. That we will ask Dr. Reese Williams to attend the next meeting. So would that be, Kathy, the next ARC committee meeting? Is that okay?
Yes.
So the next ARC, yes, committee meeting. So Dr. Reese Williams can provide the information on how her attempt this time will be different for the ECCP. And then for Dr. McCallie, so I included in this motion as well?
Yes, I believe. Yeah, Kathy, okay. Is that correct? Yep.
And then for Dr. McCallie, what we discuss, a fair letter, another one, with showing the dates of her experiences, the hours, her title, supervision logs, everything that amount to 3,000 hours.
Excellent. Hearing that motion, I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And that was mean for me to make you do that one. Thank you, Dr. Medina. Masterful.
I don't know about that, but we got it done. And that's what matters. So.
Excellent. We'll move on to item C1, Dr. Baker. Since you just had to do the motion, I'll take this one. Dr. Baker graduated from APA-accredited Midwestern University in Glendale. He obtained a passing score on the ECCP in April of 2024. Congratulations. He has held a provisional teaching certificate with no actions noted. His postdoctoral hours, which he is requesting approval of that supervised experience for, were submitted from Van Doren Neuropsychology in the amount total of 1,786 hours. He has two references and a self-query. I did not see anything in particular that would preclude us from approving. Did you have any other issues with this one?
None at all. It looked in order.
Perfect. So I would entertain a motion for C, category C, please.
I move to approve Dr. Baker's application.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. There are no people for item D. So we'll move to requesting approval for licensure by waiver, which is our section E. The first one is Dr. Napier Ayasaku. I might have mispronounced that. My apologies. Did you want to take that one or would you like me to, Dr. Sure. Medina?
No, I can take it. Dr. Napier Ayasaku received her PSID from the Wright Institute in 2004. She is licensed in the states of Nevada and California. She was licensed in North Carolina, but that license expired in 2011. There were no issues with the licenses or any actions on them. Let's see, Dr. Napier Ionescu endorsed having a disciplinary action in her records. I'm sorry. I should have read ahead. I wrote it all here. Endorsed having a disciplinary action, a consent agreement, and probation period from a previous complaint. The causes for the disciplinary action were failure to report, dishonesty or false representation, and failing to properly maintain and produce mental health records. The incident took place in 2016, and Napier Ionescu completed all the terms in 2023. So it's no longer on probation. So that is a completed issue. And that concludes my summary to the board. In this section, I can't recall, Kathy. I am sorry. When it's an application on this section, does the previous disciplinary action preclude applicants from getting the license here?
Madam Chair, Dr. Medina, no, it does not. We have a statute that basically says, and it's 32-2071.01. And it basically says, if there was disciplinary action in the past, has it been resolved? Does the board feel comfortable that it's resolved?
Yes. Okay.
Is that about right, Jean? You can.
So, yes. So, okay. So our options are we either approve or we send to the full board for review, correct?
I believe ARC can also request the applicant appear if there's questions. Is that correct, Ms. Gallen?
That's correct. Options would also include a recommendation for denial if you think that the past discipline warrants a denial.
I would not feel comfortable approving this application without the full board reviewing it.
I'm in agreement, Dr. Medina.
Yeah.
I also had another question, which might just be a miss on my part. I saw the 2,000 hours from internship from APA-accredited Kaiser, but where's the additional 1,000 hours that we need?
Yeah, Madam Chair, committee members, this is someone who has been licensed for 10 or more years and less than 20, so only the internship is required for the supervised experience.
Thank you for that clarification. We have far too many categories, I am going to declare today. Thank you for your guidance.
I know, and that's why my brain is full. And so
So, you know, I know there are some categories where having a pass the disciplinary action, you know, would be an issue. But yeah, so I, for this one, I would want to request Dr. Napier-Ionescu's attendance to the next board meeting and pass this case to the full board for approval.
All right, I agree.
For substantive review, you mean? For the whole board to review it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. All right, E2 is the next one in this category. Dr. Collette graduated from Brigham Young University in 2019, previously held a social work license in Utah, which has expired with no actions, has had a psychologist license in Utah, which just expired several days ago. Do we know if she renewed? Because if she's not a current licensee in Utah, this category would not work, correct? Her expiration date was 9/30/24.
Madam Chair, no, she's applying by waiver. So if she's been licensed historically, Jean, correct me if I'm wrong, but historically the board has interpreted that just if they've been actively licensed for 10 or more years, they fit into various categories, but it doesn't require an active license to apply right now. Because people can apply having passed the ECCC and not licensed in this state, so, or not licensed anywhere.
I believe that's how we have interpreted that in the past. So long as they've been licensed for 10 years, not necessarily right now with an active license.
Okay. With that information in mind, she also holds a SIPAC temporary authorization to practice, which expired in 5/24. The fact that it's expired is causing me a little bit of pause, but okay, if that's how we interpret it, I will move forward with my discomfort.
But in Utah, she was licensed for 10.
But it's expired right now, no, but no, I understand I that.
Yeah.
Okay. I just need to move on with this discomfort.
I know, Dr. Flint. And I also think about this, right? This meeting traditionally would have been held last Friday. So I know it's still, you know, we're legal, but right. Then she would have been licensed. So, but she gotcha. Was.
Oh, Madam Chair, committee members, this is a moot point. She is she did renew her license in Utah. The expiration is September 30th, 2026. I will download this and send it into the file.
That makes me feel better. I don't know for what reason, but it just does. She did submit all her practica and other various other training experiences. We had mentioned before that the in-circle hours were supervised by an LMFT, not a psychologist. So if I remove those hours from the calculations, I still get 2085. Is that, Dr. Medina, what you found as well?
Yeah.
So I think we are still okay there. We have two references and a self-query. We do obviously have an ECCC passing score. She was licensed in another state. That score has been verified. So with working through those little hiccups, I don't have any other concerns about this application. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Okay, excellent. We did Dr. Wallen, E3. Mm-hmm. E4, I am recused from, so that will go to the full board on Friday. Lucky us, we will have a few to look at. E5, Dr.
Medina, okay.
Abril Gonzalez-Juarez or just Gonzalez-Juarez?
Gonzalez-Juarez. So perfect. I'll do this one. Dr. Gonzalez-Juarez's application had been reviewed by the application review committee on their meeting on August 30th. At that time, a fair letter was issued requesting clarification on her internship as the total number of hours worked implied more than 40 hours per week. An updated internship verification form was submitted and it was submitted in a timely manner. And from the letter, it was just an updated verification form. I don't think we had requested anymore. So I think the new one looks in order. So I don't see anything that would prevent us, you know.
I agree with you, Dr. Medina. I agree. All right. Moving on in this category then to E6, Dr. Campbell. This is a response to a FAIR letter. So Dr. Campbell graduated from an APA accredited program, Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences in 2022 with a degree in clinical psychology. We had a couple issues which we requested a FAIR letter, which her response is, there was an overlap in training sites, apparently for the postdoc training plans, and a deficiency of supervision hours. A new form was submitted, which appeared to remedy some of those concerns. However, in the letter, we did ask for supervision logs, and I did not see any supervision logs in that packet, and they were specifically requested in the letter.
Mm-hmm.
In cases where the form remedies the questions, but they didn't fulfill the full intent of the letter, what is the normal course of action? Do we re-FAIR request the supervision logs?
If you believe that their response to the FAIR was inadequate or something was missing, then you have the right to seek additional information or remind them that their response was not responsive to your request.
Dr. Medina, how do you feel about the supervision logs?
Well, I mean, I think they were requested and they were not submitted. So I think we need to request them and get them and get clarification.
Okay. So we will make an additional formal request to fulfill all the required components of the FAIR letter. Kathy, do you need any other specific information, or does that cover the request?
No, that covers the request. Thank you.
Perfect. Okay, we already saw Dr. Schaefer and Bogardis. So we have another complicated motion. Dr. Medina, are you ready?
Yes, I am. Well, let me see. Okay, so I move that we send Drs. Colette Wallen, Gonzalez Juarez, Schaefer, and Borgatas. We approve those applications. Dr. Perdue is going to the full board because Dr. Flint is recused. Dr. Napier Ionescu, her presence is requested at the next board meeting because we're moving on that application for a review, a decision on that application. And then Dr. Campbell has to fulfill the request from the FAIR letter that was issued because it was missing the supervision logs.
Excellent.
Am I missing anything?
You got it, I think. Anybody have any other requests for that? I think we're good. I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Moving forward to item F on the agenda. Yeah. Scroll down here. Item F is requesting approval for licensure by credential. Dr. Colosia, perhaps, obtained a doctorate in clinical psychology from the California School of Professional Psychology in 2001. She is a part of the National Register of Health Service Psychologists, which was verified. She holds a license in Connecticut, expiring 4/25 with no actions. ECCC has been passed and verified, and the self query was present in the packet. I did not see anything on this application that required any other questions from me. What about you, Dr. Medina?
No concerns. It looked in order.
Perfect. So I would entertain a motion for item F1.
Yeah, I move to approve Dr. Kolosha's application to licensure by credential.
I second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving to section G, licensure by universal recognition. Would you like to do G1?
Yes, I would. Dr. Khalili Kane is applying for licensure by universal recognition. She received her doctoral degree from the Hawaii School of Professional Psychology in 2021, completed her internship in 2021, and postdoctoral fellowship in 2022. She is licensed in the state of Florida. She submitted her son's records of enrollment in a school in Arizona, which meets the requirement for establishing residence in Arizona. I think everything looked in order. I don't have any notes of anything that is concerning on my end. Do you agree with that?
I do. I would entertain a motion then for both items in G, as we heard G2 a little bit earlier.
Yeah, well, I move that we approve both applications, Dr. Khalili Kane and Dr. Bacha.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Moving to the last section, section H, we are looking at requesting approval for the telehealth registry. Mm-hmm. The first one requesting is Dr. Laprade. She holds a license in Massachusetts with no actions noted, a liability insurance statutory agent, certification that she's read the rules and statutes, and the need for the annual report were all verified. Kathy, this one I have noted missing a self-query, but I believe you entered one into the file. Is this the one where the self-query was uploaded and I just missed it?
Yes, that's correct. It is uploaded. It's in the file now.
Perfect. Okay. Sorry about that error in my notation. I don't have any concerns about this applicant. Do you, Dr. Medina?
I do not.
Okay. Would you take B2, Dr. Foster?
Yes. Dr. Foster is licensed and resides in the state of California. She provided proof of liability insurance, statement of consent by register agent, attestation that she has read the Arizona Revised Statutes and Administrative Code sections, and that she will annually update her registration. She also submitted a self-query. I can't speak. It looked in order on my end.
I agree with that. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
H3, Dr. Kennedy holds a license in Connecticut, holds licenses in Connecticut and New Jersey, with both with no actions. She's also part of the Florida Telehealth Registry, has an inactive license in Colorado with no actions. The telehealth registry, I apologize, is also inactive. She did submit liability insurance, proof of statutory agent, certified reading the rules and statutes, and understands the need for the annual report. There is a self-query present consistent with the information provided in the application. I didn't see any concerns about Dr. Kennedy's application.
No concerns.
Perfect. Would you take Dr. Decker, H4, please?
Dr. Decker is licensed and resides in the state of California, provided proof of liability insurance, statement of consent by registered agent, attestation that she has read the Arizona Revised Statutes and Administrative Code, and that she will annually update her registration. She also submitted a self-query, so I did not see any issues with this application.
Excellent. I would entertain a motion for all of the applicants under Category H.
I move that we apply all the candidates under the telehealth registry section.
I second that motion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Are there any new agenda items for future meetings that we haven't already covered? Hearing none, do I hear a motion to adjourn the application review committee?
Well, I'll make the motion.
That one you will volunteer for. I second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Yes. Motion is adjourned, meeting is adjourned at 2:59 p.m. Thank you, guys.